Welcome back to the Viking Update Show featuring John Krasinski. By the way, if you enjoy John's basketball reporting and the John Krasinski Show, we're going to run the John Krasinski Show. That is our Timberwolves and NBA show at this network live on Thursday night, December 2nd, 7 p.m. at Tuttle's. TuttlesBowling.com is the website. It's a really cool place to hang out. Come out and join us. Ask some questions. Chat us up. We'd love to see you out there. Also, next, Worst Seats in the House. That's our hockey show with Anthony DiLapanta and Michael Russo. Will be the 15th at Elsie's at 7 p.m. Please show up and check out that fine show as well. Let's get to some Viking stuff here with John. I just got back from San Francisco. Very interesting trip. Very interesting game. And the last three times the Vikings have gone to San Francisco, they've gotten run over, basically, and it happened again. Big picture question, John. Vikings are 5-6. If they beat bad and mediocre teams from here to the end of the season, they're going to get to 9 or 10 wins, and they're going to make the playoffs. Do you trust this team at this point to do that?
I was starting to trust them, Jim. I mean, I picked them to win in San Francisco. I felt like the Green Bay victory was a real step in the right direction and maybe even a corner being turned for this franchise, for Kirk Cousins, for Mike Zimmer, for everyone involved. But certainly you look at the way that that game played out on Sunday against San Francisco, and it does make you, it makes me kind of think about things a little bit more. I want to give this team a little bit of the benefit of the doubt, given that the entire starting defensive line was decimated and out, that they were just kind of dealing with a bunch of adverse situations. But I think that they're going to keep facing this adversity and these injuries and these absences for much of the rest of the season. So I don't foresee a scenario where in 2 weeks or 3 weeks, all of a sudden, everyone is healthy and everyone is good to go when they're at full strength or reasonably close to full strength, you know, going into the stretch run. So I don't trust them. I don't think it's going to all fall apart either. Basically, what I'm saying is if I were a gambler, which I've said many times before, I'm not, this would be a stay away for me. Like, I just don't know what to do with these guys right now.
I agree with you, and they should make the playoffs from this point, given the schedule and their obvious talent. I don't know if I trust them to win this game. They should win, and we have put the Lions game on Sunday into that category. The Lions are a terrible team, but they tend to play a lot of people close, and the Vikings without a defensive line and Dalvin Cook, they feel vulnerable. Let's break down that game and everything that happened in San Francisco. Again, this is the Viking Update Show, part of the TalkNorth.com podcast network. Thank you to our sponsors, BetUS.com. The promo code is TNorth125. We will do our three BetUS picks of the week at the end of this show. Thanks also to Star Bank and Pizza Barn. Again, thank you to Tuttle's, TuttlesBowling.com. December 2nd, that's Thursday night, 7 p.m., the John Krasinski Show. Basketball, we'll talk about other sports as well. Come join, ask a question on anything you like. And thank you to our producer, Brandon Morton, and our sales executive, Karen Cleary, K-C-L-E-A-R-Y at TalkNorth.com. All right, so the 49er game, listen, it's not a horrible loss, big picture. They were missing, they had everything happening with Everson Griffin this week. They didn't have their starting defensive line. Dalvin Cook gets hurt during the game. They're playing a team that has been hot and running the ball very well. So, you know, listen, you go on the road for the third, a coastal trip for the third time in 4 weeks after two big victories. It's not a terrible loss, but I'm a little disturbed this far into the season, this far into Kirk Cousins' career, this far into Mike Zimmer's tenure, that they look completely lost in a couple situations. They look lost at the end of the first half, which is not the first time that's happened, and they looked absolutely lost on their goal-to-go sequence where they, you know, had to call a timeout and Kirk Cousins lined up under guard on 4th-and-3. It just, I don't think a team with this much experience should be looking like that in those situations.
Yeah, there definitely was some discombobulation out there for sure. The way that, you know, I've kind of been trying to characterize it when I try and look big picture and sum up how I felt about the Vikings coming out of that loss is I totally agree with you that I don't think it's the end of the world. I don't think that they were an embarrassment. I don't think that you can even look at that and say, well, boy, they should have won that game, or they let that one get away, or things like that. The Niners have found some sort of a rhythm. They're playing pretty well. They were at home, all of those things. What I do think it says to me is, had they gone out there and won that game and played really well and fought a very physical team and come out victorious, then I think you could say, okay, this team has really started to find something, and this team is going to be kind of a force to be reckoned with in December in the NFL. And we just can't say that now because they didn't do it. I mean, I think, you know, oftentimes in the NFL and in analyzing things, the team loses 1 week, they're terrible. They win the next week, they're great. I think that, you know, the Vikings are in between there. But yeah, I think you want, at this stage of their tenure together, Mike Zimmer and Kirk Cousins to be just a little less, I think, excitable in those moments at the end of halves, at the end of games, where you'd hope that they had just a little more of a calm demeanor about them, that the team didn't feel frantic. And I think sometimes both offensively and defensively in those situations, the team can have this frantic feel to it. And, you know, I think Mark Craig in your paper had a great story on Sunday leading into the game about how kind of this Zimmer-Cousins union, which was sort of an arranged marriage at first and maybe a begrudging one at that, has started to show signs of coming together, maybe because both of them know they're both of their heads are essentially on the chopping block right now. But whether it was by necessity or by you know, just a natural evolution, it seemed like the two of them were finding a common ground. And maybe they still are working toward that. But you just want a veteran head coach and a veteran quarterback to be able to be the calm in the storm. And I think quite a few times over their tenure, and certainly on Sunday, they were not the calm in the storm. And then you can see the results of that when the leaders are just kind of all over the place.
That is all exactly right. And the other question about this team is, listen, it looks like we know who the six best teams in the NFC are. You know, listen, it's been an unpredictable season. Maybe somebody falls from their perch. The 49ers are in great shape now because they essentially a two-game lead over the Vikings. And the teams the Vikings are competing with for the seventh playoff spot, including the Washington football team, all look pretty mediocre. But would it even be an accomplishment if they make the playoffs as a seventh seed in a 16-team conference and then don't win a playoff game? Is that something that you should praise them for?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think the standards should be higher at this point of their kind of development phase with all of the talent around them, with Adam Thielen, with Dalvin Cook, with Justin Jefferson, you know, with Patrick Peterson, and obviously Danielle Hunter got hurt, but Harrison Smith played pretty well on Sunday for the first time in a while. And they have talent. They have veteran talent. And so this is when you want to see the window opening for not just making the playoffs, but making a big push in the playoffs, and especially, Jim, in the NFC this year. I mean, it is wide open. You would think that if they had all of their stuff together, if they were hitting on all cylinders and playing really well, I mean, are there any teams really in this conference that genuinely scare you? I don't think so. So, I mean, this is the time where it does feel like the opportunity is there for a good team to kind of come up and take control of the NFC and make a run. So because if the Vikings are one and done in the playoffs, if they get in and they get bounced, or God forbid, if they don't get in at all, I think that's a failure. I think that would constitute a failure for where this team is at. When they started the season, I think that the expectations were that they would not only get into the playoffs, but they would be a factor in the playoffs. It doesn't mean they have to go to the Super Bowl, but that they would be a team that could make some noise. And right now, I just don't get the feeling that they are a team that could do that. Even after the Packer game, Jim, I still had my reservations about their ability to win multiple games in the playoffs. And maybe they can get on a run, and maybe eventually they can do that this time around, and maybe they'll find themselves over this last 5-6 weeks of the season. But right now, as it stands, it looks like a team that can squeak in and then will bow out. And if that happens, I think that people should feel disappointed with the outcome of the season in that regard.
I also think that we almost have to learn to put Packer-Viking results into their own little category and not look at them as indicators of anything else, because the Vikings tend – Zimmer's done a good job against Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. He has won his fair share of those fights against maybe the greatest quarterback of all time. And it doesn't when they beat the Packers, it doesn't necessarily indicate they're going to have a good season or they figure anything else out. They just gear up for that rivalry and play really well against the Packers in general.
Yeah, they do. And but I think, and that's, you can kind of say that that's the NFL in general as well. I mean, you know, outside of Arizona, and look, I mean, the Packers are good. I like Tampa Bay. But then you get to Dallas, the Rams, the Niners, you know, Washington, you know, the Falcons, the Saints, like all these, you know, the Vikings, the Eagles, like these are just a bunch of good teams, not great teams. And so every single week, there's an upset. There's a team that quote unquote shouldn't win that does. The parity in this league, it kind of lends itself to those types of victories happening on a regular basis. There are very few times anymore where you get a 15-1 team, you know, a Randy Moss Brady Patriots, a Randy Moss Cunningham Vikings, you know, a juggernaut that just rolls through the, especially the NFC right now. You know, I think the Chiefs were close to that the last couple of years, and they've fallen off. It just, there's not that kind of unbeatable opponent that you look at and you say, oh man, there's just no way. I mean, it is a week to week thing. And so, I mean, obviously you want to beat the Packers because that's certainly much better than the alternative. And I thought that they took some very big strides in that game, but it certainly wasn't indicative of a team, or just because you got that victory doesn't mean that that everything is going to be fine and that you're going to get on this roll. I mean, it's just a muddled picture every single week.
I want to get to Dalvin Cook, his injury, and the running back situation and what it means for this team. First, do want to thank Star Bank. Have you tried to call your bank lately? Do you bank locally? Star Bank is our bank at the Talk North Podcast Network. They're a family-owned local bank with branches across central and west central Minnesota. With Star Bank, you get all the bells and whistles you would expect from a bank these days, but they have no 800 number, no call center, and no confusing phone queue. You can even request your banker's cell phone number. That's how they operate. Star Bank is a true Minnesota family-run business. Check them out at starbank.net. Star Bank is a member FDIC and equal housing lender. Also want to thank Pizza Barn in Princeton. Yes, it is in Princeton. It is really not very far outside of the outside of the metro area. If you're anywhere by 169 in the northwest corridor, you're not that far away. GPS, you'll get to go there, check out the restaurant, tell Jody we sent you. Jody Stay is the proprietor. It's a long time family-run business in Princeton. They take care of game officials. They take care of high school kids and athletes. It is the kind of place you want to support. They also now have a food truck. They will cater any event you want, but you need to get in there quick because they are booking up fast for far into the future because it's been such a success. Jody's planning on getting a second food truck. It's been so successful. They have the pizza of the month. They have great craft beers there. But if you don't live in Princeton and you want to experience their food as we have, I recommend going to pizzabarnprinceton.com and hiring the food truck. They will come to you, and the pizzas taste remarkably good right out of the pizza oven they have in their food truck. It's remarkable. I also want to tell you about BetUS. BetUS has been serving clients for 25-plus years. BetUS.com is the app. They have research on there. You can bet in anything you want, pop culture, any sport, any prop bet. It's ridiculous how many things you can bet on. Promo code is TNorth125, or if you use crypto, TNorth200 to get 200% sign-up bonus. The TNorth125 uses 125% sign-up bonus. We're going to tell you more about BetUS, make our BetUS picks here at the end of this show. Let's get to Dalvin Cook. Sounds like he's out at least two games. You never know how long that could stretch afterward. And the fascinating thing here, John, is And it's such a complicated thing to talk about because Dalvin Cook is a great player. And of course, they're better with him. But I could see them running the ball effectively with a combination of Wongwu, who really looks like dynamic ball carrier, and Madison, who's had his moments as Cook's backup in the past. And, you know, as great as Cook is, how much of a step back does the offense really take when your lead running back gets hurt?
Yeah, I mean, I think like one thing that we talked a lot about when Cook first signed his extension is that his ability to make defenders and opposing tacklers miss, make the first guy miss, was legitimately a big deal for this team because he was playing behind an offensive line that often lets at least one guy get a free shot at him, or, you know, either at the line of scrimmage or behind the line of scrimmage. And so he has more wiggle, more juice, more ability to break tackles and make people miss than Alexander Mattison. And so you said, absolutely, you know, he is a huge step up from kind of the more workmanlike Alexander Mattison. But I thought it was really telling, Jim, that when Mike Zimmer was asked about it, you know, I can't remember if it was Monday or Sunday after the game, but basically saying that, you know, when asked about Dalvin Cook's absence, like, you know, yeah, we're going to miss him. He's a great player, but we haven't been running the ball well lately anyway. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I think that goes to show kind of some of the greater concerns, or that maybe even just the philosophical shift in this offense in recent weeks is gone from what Zimmer initially envisioned, which was ball control, keep it on the ground, be physical, move the sticks with Dalvin Cook, to much more of Kirk Cousins is really accurate. Let's go down the field to Jefferson and Thielen. Let's keep the chains moving that way. Even if it's more methodical and you're taking checkdowns, just keep going that way because Kirk is playing that well, and maybe that suits the offensive line strengths a little bit more as well. So I would say that right now, with the way that the Vikings are playing, and, you know, yes, Kirk Cousins did not play well against San Francisco this week, but in general this season, he has been good. I don't think it has to be a death knell for this Vikings offense. I think that they can weather this with Madison kind of, you know, being a kind of more of a feature back. I really do want to see Wongwu, Jim, because I tweeted about it on Sunday. Like, I think that he has reached the point, at least in the kick return game, where he needs to be under Cordarrelle Patterson rules. In that, if you can get your hands on the football, I don't care how deep it is in the end zone, take that thing out and see what you can do with it. He is that explosive in the return game. And so I really do want to see if they can get him out in space a little bit with the running game or a screen game or checkdowns or things like that, and use that, because he's clearly got another gear, certainly that Madison doesn't have. And so I think that there is a scenario where the two of those guys, Madison and Wongwu, do enough good things to make the opposing defense respect the run game at least. It's not going to be quite the same as Dalvin from a home run hitting standpoint, from all of that. But I think they can do enough, especially with the way that Cousins in general has been throwing the football. And so they can survive this now, whereas if this would have happened even earlier this year, or certainly in the last couple of years, with the way that the offense was designed, I think it would have been a much more detrimental situation for them.
I think if you look around the NFL and look at good teams, you know, legitimately good teams, let's say 7 victories or more, even 6 victories or more, very few of them have a draft them high, sign them to a second contract, star running back. We have to build our offense around this guy. Now, Tennessee was built that way and Henry got hurt. Dallas was supposed to be built that way, but Elliott's been playing with a knee injury and Pollard is more explosive than Elliott is at this point, so that's not really there. Arizona has shuffled backs. The Patriots have shuffled backs. The Chiefs have shuffled backs. You know, the Packers have 2 backs that they can, you know, interchange anytime they want. It's really kind of fascinating to me. And so what I think they're going to miss with Dalvin Cook is the his versatility, the fact that he can be anything you want back there. He can be a pass blocker. He can be a pass catcher. He can go downfield. He can get short yardage. He can be the guy you hand it to on first down and hope you pop one. I do feel like Cook has lost a little bit of his big play ability. I just don't think he's a guy who takes your breath away like he did last year or the year before, where, oh, if he gets a crack, it's 40 yards or he's going to the house. I think he's lost enough of his top end speed that he's just a good all around back, but he's not necessarily that guy anymore.
Yeah. And what I'm not sure about yet, Jim, on that is, has he truly lost a step? Is it gone? Or has he been dealing with nicks and bumps and injuries and things like that? I mean, has the offensive line's issues, you know, made it tougher on him too? I don't know exactly where to attribute it to yet, but the bottom line is, even if it is more injury related than a decline, a physical decline, that's an issue too that the Vikings have to deal with, because we have said it time and again, like, it's a very physical position, and Dalvin has gotten banged up several times in his career. In most years, he's had to miss at least a game or two because of the physical toll on his body. And that does not make him soft. That does not make him someone who isn't worthy of the investment. But it does factor into the calculus on how do you build your roster. And that's why I do think it was smart to have Madison, to bring in Gwangwu, who is another like intriguing prospect, because you're going to need fresh legs and you're going to need them often during a season, especially when you're playing 18 games or 17 games. So I want to give it a little bit more time and get a little bit more sample before I look at Dalvin and say, you know what, this is the beginning of the decline for him. But I also fully acknowledge that this is a player who, even at his best, is one carry away from missing a few weeks. And that is something that is just, it's difficult for them to rely and plan on him being there week in and week out when this kind of stuff happens. And again, like, this dislocated shoulder, like, he took a shot and that was just, a fluke freak injury that happened, but it's happened to him a couple of times now. And so it's kind of apparent that his body takes real punishment, and sometimes it has a little hard time absorbing that.
And it all comes back, as it always does with this team in the last handful of years, to Kirk Cousins. Mm-hmm. He's getting paid $33 million a year, and he's going to have to be really good to manage the running back situation, the offensive line situation, the fact that the defense is probably going to give up a lot of points. It's going to come down to Cousins producing points with what he has on hand, and I don't know if that inspires a ton of confidence.
Yeah, I understand that, and I thought Arif Hassan from my house, The Athletic, put it really well. You know, there were plenty of reasons that the Vikings lost that game to the 49ers. Cousins certainly wasn't the only reason that they lost it, but he also wasn't the reason that they won either. In terms of, like, you want in that spot when you're down a little bit, when the defense is struggling, when Dalvin Cook is hurt, that's when you really lean on your franchise quarterback to get things done. And he missed Justin Jefferson on the 2-point conversion, wide open. He missed a few other throws. He made some bad decisions, one on the interception. Obviously, there's the meme of him, you know, kind of lining up under the guard, which certainly, you know, I don't think it's as catastrophic as people want to make it out to be, but it's not a good look when you break the huddle in a very important situation and you put your hands under the wrong guy's rear end. So that's not good either. He has been so much better this season. I truly believe that he has really performed at a level that is much more commensurate with what you expect of a player of that stature and of that compensation. But this was a big moment for him, and you really needed him to grab this game by the throat to pull his team along with him, and he wasn't able to do that.
Let's get to our picks. We will be picking the Vikings game again. BetUS.com is the website. BetUS is the app. Highly recommend checking it out. Again, great research. We also do picks with Jeff Diamond, the former Vikings general manager, on the Jeff Diamond Show. Jeff Diamond's Vikings and NFL Insider, which comes out later in the week, and we'll be previewing the Lions and the NFC North games. For today with John, let's pick Denver, Teddy Bridgewater, and the Broncos. Hey, George Payton, what a great trade. He trades Von Miller, who doesn't look like he has anything left, gets tons of draft picks, and the Rams are 0-3 since they got Von Miller. I love Von Miller, but, you know, old defensive players tend to fall off pretty quickly. Denver playing well, running the ball well, but giving 10 points at Kansas City.
Oh, man, that's a lot of points, Jim. And I know that Kansas City has had its issues for this season, but I think I'm going to have to go I'm going to take Denver covering, but Kansas City winning. I'll say that. That's a lot of points.
I agree with you completely. And Kansas City, their defense has really improved lately. They're ironing things out on offense. I think they are on the way, but I just can't give 10 points in a divisional matchup where – Denver's been playing well and running the ball well lately. Even if they just run the ball well enough to kill clock, that might keep the game close. All right, Patriots. No, actually, let's do this one. Let's do Arizona giving 9 points to the Chicago Bears in Chicago.
I think that's a lot of points as well. I also know that Soldier Field is, especially this time of year, it maybe lends itself to lower scoring games. But I still just think that the Bears are a real mess and that the Cardinals are the class of this conference. And so I think that they are going to play disciplined enough football and the Bears are going to mess up enough that the Cardinals can win by 10 points.
I think I'm going to take the points here for no other reason than it's just a lot of points.
It is a lot of Bears, points.
Bears playing at home. They did win after all the rumors of Nagy's demise last week. They had a long week to prepare. I don't like speed teams on that shaky turf at Soldier Field. I'm going to take the Bears just to keep it close. I'm sure I will regret that. Never bet on the Bears or the Lions. Now Vikings giving 7 points at Detroit.
I mean, it is the classic game, Jim, where the Vikings would go in there and lay an egg, or certainly it just like really struggle and squeak one out, and you walk out of a game feeling almost like they lost it, even if they won. I can't do it. Like I can't pick an 0-10-1 team even to cover. I think, you know, 7 points is kind of a lot on the road, but I still think that the Vikings can win this, you know, 21-13 and cover that spread. So I, if they don't, then I think you start to wonder, you know, just what they have, but they're coming off of a loss. They probably want, you know, to refocus and get right. And so if this team is capable of kind of making a run, getting to the playoffs, and then making things interesting there, I got to think that they win against the Lions without too much of a sweat.
I'm having trouble with this one. No Dalvin Cook, no defensive line. Patrick Peterson on the COVID list, at least as we speak here on Tuesday. The Lions have played a lot of close games.
Yeah, the Peterson thing is a big one.
Yeah.
Thing is a big one. You're right, Jim.
I'm going to take Detroit to cover. I would be surprised if they won, but 7 points is just too much for me. You're sensing a trend from me. Yes, I think I'm going to take the underdog and the points whenever I can these days if it's a significant amount of points. Again, you can go make your own bets at betus.com. Promo code again, TNorth. 125, 125% sign-up bonus, or TNorth 200 if you use crypto. Reminder to the John Krasinski Show, our Timberwolves show about the hottest team in Minnesota, will be 7 p.m. December 2nd, Thursday night at Tuttle's, tuttlesbowling.com. Come out and say hello. And again, we'll talk about other sports as well as the Wolves, but the Wolves are a lot of fun to talk about these days. Thanks to everyone who listens to TalkNorth.com. Thanks again to our producer, Brandon Morton. And thank you for listening.